Today's daf is Gittin Daf Yotes. We are at the Mishnah, six lines from the top of Daf Yud Tes Amid Aleph. Today's daf is being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Chaim Elazar, Ben Yibadol Chaim, Reb Shimshin Aryeh. So the Mishnah now is going to turn its attention to discuss the laws of Ksiva Saget, how exactly a get needs to be written, and we're going to begin with what type of ink the get needs to be written with, and on what type of parchment does the get need to be written on. So we're starting with the basics on a very, very technical note. Zok the Mishnah, Bakol Koisven. You can write a get with anything. And then the Mishnah gives examples of what that everything is. Bidyoy, Bisam, Bisikra, Uvekumus, Ubekankantum. The Gemara is going to explain every one of these items mentioned. And then the Mishnah says generally, Ubechal Dabashu Shal Kayama. And with anything that's going to last. So essentially, anything that a person wants to write a get with, as long as it's a Dabash Shal Kayama, as long as it's not going to fade, it's going to have a kiyum, it's kosher to use to write a get. In Koisvin, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to write a get, Loi B'mashkin, not using liquids, V'loi B'mei Peiros, or with juice, or with anything that's not going to have a kiyum. So the Mishnah gives examples of things that you can use for Ksiva Saget. The Mishnah gives examples of things that you cannot use for Ksiva Saget. And the Mishnah gives us a rule to know what you can use and what you cannot use. If it's a Dover Shehu Shal Kayama, you can use it. If it's a Dover She'enoy Miskayim, then you cannot use it. What about parchments? What about the paper that you're writing the get on? Says the Mishnah, al hakol koisvin. You could write a get on anything. Ala olo shal zayis, on the leaf of an olive, va'al hakeren shal para, or on the horn of a cow, v'noisen lo sa para. In the event that you're going to write the get on the horn of a para, so then you would have to take the actual para and give it to the woman that's being divorced. Al yad shal eved, you can write a get even on the hand of an eved, v'noisen lo sa eved, as long as the husband gives the eved to his wife. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yosi Aglili said, ain't koisvin, you're not allowed to write a get. Lo yaldova sheyesh bei ruach chayim, not on any living organism, such as an eved or a para. V'lo yalo oichlin. Additionally, you're not allowed to write a get on oichlin, on food. Everything that we just mentioned is going to be discussed in the Gemara. So the Mishnah began with what you're allowed to use and what you're not allowed to use for ksivas aget, as far as the ink goes. And the Mishnah said, bakol koisvin, and then it gave examples. Bidyoy, besam, besikra, Bekumus ubekankantum. Five specific items. So what are these things? Zakti Gemara. Diyoy is diyusa. So diyusa is black ink. In fact, if you look at the top line of Tosfos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the diyoy shalonu hu karui diyoy. The diyoy that we have, and Tosfos says that's used for ksiva saget, but also for ksiva sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs. That's what the Mishnah was referring to when it said diyoy. So diyoy is the black ink that the sofer uses. Sam, what is that? Sama, paint. Sikra, Omer Rabbe Bar Bachana, Sekarta Shema. It's a red dye. Kumus, kuma. Rashi says kuma is tsrafo ilon. So it's an ink that's made from the sap of a tree. Kankantum, Omer Rabbe Bar Bachana, Omer Shmuel, Charto do Ushbechi, which is shoe polish. So the Gemara teached the five items that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, after the Mishnah mentioned these things, it said a general rule. Ubechol dovar shehu meskayim v'chul. You're allowed to use anything that's a dovar shehu meskayim. Now, it sounds like that is coming to be marba, something that wasn't already mentioned. Because if the only things that are kosher v'ksivas aget are the things that the Mishnah listed, then why are we repeating ourselves now and saying, ubechol dovar shehu meskayim? It sounds like that's a sixth item on the list. So what's that coming to be marba? Lasuye mai. So the Gemara says lasuye hadatani Rab Chanina. It's coming to be marba the things that were mentioned in a brisa that was taught by Rab Chanina. Kosfu b'meitaria. The brisa said if somebody would write a get using mei geshamim. So meitaria is mei geshamim va'atza. Or if somebody would write a get using gall nuts, kosher. The halach is it would be kosher. Tani Rab Chia. Rab Chia taught in another brisa. If somebody would write a get using lead, b'shachar, charcoal, u'b'shichur, Rashi says that's charta d'ushbechi. That was mentioned in the Mishnah, kosher, that too would be kosher. Either way, we have two brises, both Rav Chiya's brises, that mentioned additional things that are kosher for ksivas aget, and that's what the Mishnah was referring to when it listed in a more general sense that you can write a get, b'chol davar shehu shel kayama. Either way, this concludes the first portion of today's daf, which is rather technical. The next 10 lines or so that we're about to learn are extremely lumdish. There's major sugyas happening here. Unfortunately, we're going to have to do what we do, but in the raid, we'll come back to it a little bit. But just a little bit of a heads up that the Gemara that we're about to learn is big. Itmar hamavrid yoy al gabi sikra b'shabbos. So one of the lametes malachis is koisev. You're not allowed to write on Shabbos. You're also not allowed to be meichek. You're not allowed to erase on Shabbos. What happens if somebody would write on Shabbos, but he would write on top of words that were already written? So the shir ksiva on Shabbos is a person's not allowed to write two oisias. So let's say a person had two oisias that were already written, and now you're going to write two oisias, but on top of the two oisias that were already written. Are you going to be chayiv, or are you not going to be chayiv? That's what the Gemara is about to discuss. Hamavrid yoy agabi sikra b'shabbos. If somebody writes with dioy on top of sikra on Shabbos. So you had two letters that were written in red ink, and now you wrote on top of it with black ink. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Lamech Ravayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both said, Chayev Shtayim, you're going to be Chayev twice. Meaning, you are Mechalel Shabbos, not once, but two times. Achas Mishum Kaisev, you are Mechalel Shabbos because you wrote, V'achas Mishum Moichek, you were also Mechalel Shabbos because you were raised. So number one, you were Kaisev. Number two, you were Moichek. How so? You wrote with black ink on top of red ink. Writing with black of letters, but black on top of red is noticeable, and as a result, you're a kosev. You're also a moichek, because you were moichek the red letters that had been written. As a result, you're going to be chayv twice, once for being a kosev, and once for being a moichek. Now, Rashi speaks out, we know the halacha is, it's a Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, that Moichik is one of the Lamates Malachas. However, the only time a person's chayef for being Moichik is if he's Moichik amenas lichtoif. But if a person is Moichik, but not with the intention to write, he wouldn't be Moichik. But this Moichik, says Rashi, is Poshit, is a Moichik amenas lichtoif. The reason is because you literally were being Koisev as you were being Moichik. So Yechayim Mishum Koisev because you wrote. You're writing on top of letters that were already written. Yeah, but you're writing black on top of red. So you change the color. It's very noticeable right now. And as a result, you're considered a koisev. You're also a moichek because you erased the red. And moichek has to be almanas lichtoiv. Perfect. You are a moichek almanas lichtoiv. In fact, you were being koisev at the same time that you were being moichek. Dioy agabi dioy. What if a person wrote with black ink on top of black ink? Or sikra agabi sikra. Or a person wrote with red ink on top of red ink? Potter. In that case, you're going to be potter. And the reason in that case you're going to be potter. There is, says Rashi, Sheharehu kibetchila loikasav loimachak, because nothing changed. You wrote black on top of black, so you weren't moichik anything, you weren't kaisav anything. Whatever you had before, you have now. You didn't add, thus you weren't kaisav, and you didn't subtract, thus you are a moichik. The same is true if it's sikra gabi sikra. That's why in those cases you're going to be potter. Sikra gabi dioy. What if somebody writes with red ink on top of black ink? Amri lo chayiv, some say chayiv, amri lo potter, others say potter. Amri lo chayiv, some say chayiv, moichiku. You were moichik. Amri la potter. Others say you're going to be potter. Mekalkel hu, because you're being mekalkel. What are the two tzadim? You had two letters that were written in black, and now you wrote on top of it in red. Amri la chayiv, because you're moichik. When you write with red on top of black, so you're in some way taking away from what you had. You had letters that were written in black, and now you're making it look a little bit murky by adding red on top of it. As a result, you're going to be considered a moichik. The others said that you're going to be potter, and the reason is because you're mekalko. Because although it's true you're being moichik, there's no question, but at the same time, you're being mekalko, and the reason you're being mekalko is because you're making the ksav that you had worse than it previously was. And because you're making it worse than it previously was, you are mekalkel. And we know that in Hilchas Shabbos, even if a person does a malacha, but if he's mekalkel at the time that he's doing the malacha, the halacha is that he is going to be potter. So what's the recap? If somebody writes with black ink on top of red ink, yichayev shtayim, you're sai koisev, and you're saying moichek. You're koisei because you wrote with black ink. You're moichek because you erased what you had written with red ink. If somebody writes with black ink on top of black ink or with red ink on top of red ink, he's going to be potter. You weren't koisei, you weren't moichek. You didn't change anything. And if somebody writes with red ink on top of black ink, that's already a shayla. Amri lo chayev and amri lo potter. Amri lo chayev alts moichek, the amri lo potter. Because although you were meichek, you were mekatel. Now notice in the last case, if you wrote with red ink on top of black ink, even the Amri law that said chayev only said yechayev one, and which one? Yechayev mishum meichek, the Gemara said. But mishum koisev for sure you're not going to be chayev. And the reason you're not going to be chayev mishum koisev is because if you write with red on top of black, you're not making anything better. The only thing you're doing is making a little bit worse. So from a moichik perspective, we can hear that maybe you would be chayim mishum moichik. But from a koisnev perspective, there was never even a hamamino that you should be chayim mishum koisev. Either way, black on type of red, yichayim mishum koisev, yichayim mishum moichik. Black on top of black, red on top of red is nothing. And red on top of black, that's a shayla. Amri la chayiv, amri la potter. The tzai you should be chayiv is mishum moichik. The tzai you should be potter is because you're a mekabel. Now this is all as it relates to Hilchah Shabbos. Obviously, if we're discussing it, it's because it's going to have some shaychus to Hilchah's Gittin. Zok the Gemara, boy, minei Rishalkish Rabbi Yochanan. Rishalkish has Rabbi Yochanan. Edim sheim yoidim lachtoim. What happens if you have Edim that don't know how to sign? They simply don't know how to sign their name. Mahu, what's the halacha? Sheyichtavu lahem besikra. That we can maybe sign their name in red ink. V'yachtamu, and let them sign on top of it with black ink. What's the shayla? Ksav el yun ksav. Ayin ksav. Do we say that when somebody writes with black on type of red, even if he's writing verbatim what it says underneath it, it's considered a ksav? Or maybe no, being that you're writing on top of what was already written, so the ksav elyon is not going to be a ksav. So this was the question Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara says, Omalei Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, ain't a ksav, that it's not going to be a ksav. If the Edom would write with black and type of red, it wouldn't be a ksav. What's the kasha? Omalei Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan, Valoi limadot black and type of red on Shabbos, you'd be chayiv too. You'd be chayiv sai mishum koisim and sai mishum moichik. But if you chayiv mishum, what do you see? You see it's considered a ksav. So how could you tell me now that it's not a ksav? Didn't you yourself say that it was a ksav? And by the way, if you just look at the previous Gemara we learned, who are the ones that said black on top of red, yichayev shtayim, black on top of black, red on top of red is nothing, red on top of black, amri lachayev, amri lapata, it was Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan, you're the one who taught me that black on top of red, yechayev linyan Shabbos. So why is it that linyan gittin, if the Edom would sign black on top of red, it would not be considered a signature amalei? So Rish Yochanan told Rish Lakish the following words: v'chi mipnesha anu medamin nasu maisa. So what does this mean? So Rashi says that what Rabbi Yochanan was telling Reish Lakish is that although I said that if somebody writes with black ink on top of red ink on Shabbos, he's going to be chayev. I didn't mean that he's going to be chayev. I didn't mean that if there was a Beis HaMikdash today and he did this b'shoigig, then he would have to now bring a carbon. What I meant was, is that maybe he's chayev. At a suffix, I could hear that he would be chayev. And mi suffix he's chayev ke'ilu. But not real. I'm going to tell you, don't write with black ink on top of red ink. But at the same time, as it relates to Edom signing, I'm also going to have to go to Chumrah and I'm going to say you can't rely on it. So how do you touch the words? V'chi mipnei sha'anu medamim. Rashi says, sha'anu oimdim v'svurim. Medamim miloshin, I have it sad. Like, I'm thinking, I'm clearing such a hamamino. Abanasa ma'isa doesn't mean we should act upon it. I only held the chumrah, maybe, hair. I'm clearing it. I'm thinking, I'm vacilling a little bit. But I never said 100% that this is the way it is. So Rabbi Yochanan said that although we said chayev, but not chayev b'teres vade, it's only chayev b'teres suffik, and therefore, you're going to have no choice, but you're going to have to go to Chumrah. And as promised, we're going to get back to this a little bit later. Either way, Zokdimar, Itmar, Edom, Shein, Yoidim, Lachtim. Edom that don't know how to sign. Rav Amar, Rav said, what should you do for them? There's an Eitzah, Mekaran Lehem Niyar. What you should do is you should take a piece of parchment, a piece of paper. You should tear it. Chalak, make sure it's a clean piece of paper. Signature where the Edom would sign. Let them take ink. They could pour it into those little cracks, and like this, their name is ultimately going to be signed. So you're helping them a little bit, but Lamaisa, they're the ones that are pouring the ink, and they're the ones that are going to be signing their name in this unconventional way. That's what Rav said. The Shmuel Lama Shmuel said, "This is a different Eitz of Avar. What we should do is we should sign their name first. Sign their name using lead, which is not a real signature, and let them sign their name on top of the Avar. If you're going to do that, it's for sure not going to be a problem." Why? Because signing with Avar is not a chsima. So if they sign on top of it, there's no problem of ksav al gabi ksav. Meaning, in the previous Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were discussing where Edom don't know how to sign. Can we sign their name in red ink and they'll sign on top of it in black ink? Good, that's already a shayla. Signing your name in red ink is a real ksav. So it's a shayla, ksav al gabi ksav. Is it a ksav? Is it not a ksav? Black on top of red? That's the sugya. But over here, to sign their name for them in Avar, in lead, that's not a ksiva. And because it's not a ksiva, for them to sign on top of it, it's certainly not going to be a shayla of ksav. The Gemara says, Avar Salkadait, could it be that that's what Shmuel said, Vatani Reb Chiya? But Reb Chiya taught in a brisa, and we had the brisa right in the beginning of the daf, Kosvei ba'avar, b'shachar u'b'shichar kosher, that if you wrote a get using lead, or using charcoal, or using shoe polish, that loch is, it's kosher. What do you see? That writing with avar is a ksav. If it's kosher, fixivas aget, then it's a ksav. Right? The Torah says, v'kosav lo. So if you can use avar, obviously it's a ksav. If it's a ksav, then how could you write it in avar, tetel, edem to sign on top of it? You're running into a ksav, agav, ksav problem. So the Gemara says, like, kashi, you have to say there's two dinim when it comes to writing with lead. Haba avra, haba maya da avra. When Reb Chiya taught in a braisa that if you write with avar, it's considered a ksav, what he was referring to was liquid that comes from lead. When we say that Shmuel said that the Eitzah of how to facilitate a signature for Edom that don't know how to sign their name is to use lead, he didn't mean to use the liquid of lead, but he meant to use the physical lead. And there's a difference between lead itself versus the liquid of a lead. Again, technical, and that's the answer to this kasha. Rav Avo said this different Eitzah. That what should you do for Edom that don't know how to sign their names? What you should do is sign the name for them, b'mei milin. Use gallnuts, mayim, that gallnuts were soaked in. That's not going to be considered a ksav, and then they'll sign on top of it. There won't be a problem of ksav agav ksav. Right, the Gemara may milin. Vatani Reb Chanina taught in the other brisa kasvu b'mei tarya. If a get was written using rainwater, va'afza or gallnuts kosher, it's going to be kosher. So what do you see? That if you write with gallnuts, it is kosher. How could you tell me the eitz is write with may milin? They'll write on top of it. It won't be ksav agav ksav because ksiva with gallnuts is not a ksiva. You see, mefurish that kasvu ba'avtas kasha. So the Gemara says again, like kasha, you have to say there's two dinim in gallnuts. Hada afetz, hada loy afetz. And really, it's not so much two different types of gallnuts in this case, but it's two different types of parchment. So one of the things that we use in the processing of hides and parchments was gallnuts. And sometimes it was treated with it, and sometimes it wasn't treated with it. What the Gemara is saying is that if you have a niyar, you have a paper that was treated with afta, with these gallnuts, then if you're going to write with gallnuts on top of it, the ksav is not going to be considered a ksav, because it's going to be a tarta de sastri on some level, and the gallnuts on top of the gallnuts is not going to work. If, however, you have a paper that was loy off it, it wasn't treated, in that case it will be good, and she'ei mei milin al gabi mei milin, because if you write with gallnuts on top of gallnuts, it's not going to fly. The bottom line is, when we say that you can write a get using mei milin, which means there's a gallnut liquid, that's good as long as the parchment itself wasn't treated with the gallnuts. When we're saying that you have Edim and you're trying to figure out an Eitzah of how to facilitate their signature, use Meimilin. What we mean is, if you're using a paper that was treated with gallnuts, then using Meimilin is not considered a ksiva. As a result, if the Edim are going to sign it on top of it, it won't be a problem of ksaba gabi ksaba. Rapapa said, b'roik. The Eitzah is right using roik. So what's roik? Roik is saliva. Meaning, just give them a little bit of a sketch of what they're supposed to do, and let them write on top of it. And roik, for sure, there's no brisa that says that that's going to be okay. And Rapapa once told Papa Teira. So Rapapa, we're all familiar with. Papa Teira was Papa who was a cattle trader. But the bottom line is, he once had such a situation. He came to him with a document, and he told him he had an issue with signatures, and he told him, use Reich, and that's going to be the Eitzah. Either way, so what do we do for Edom that don't know how to sign their name? We want to help them be signatures on a shtar. So there's a few different eitzahs. Rav's eitzah was that mekaren lehem niyar, what we do is we tear the paper a little bit, we make holes in the paper that correspond to their signature, let them fill it with ink, and that's going to be the eitzah. Shmuel said that you should use lead. Let someone write their name in lead, they'll write on top of the lead, writing with lead, as opposed to liquid that comes from a lead, it's not considered a ksiva, won't be a problem, ksava gavi ksav, and that's going to be the etza. Rabbi Avo said, you can use mei milin, you can use gallnuts. Now, the only time you can use gallnuts, right, that's the asterisk, is if the niyar itself has gallnuts, but as long as it does, that's going to be okay. Rabbi Papa had a different etza. Rabbi Papa's etza was usury, but atzad ha-shova shebehem, Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Papa, they're all working with this etza. You have an etza, poshit is illiterate. He doesn't know how to sign his name. Okay, could he be a signature? An aid chsima? You would say no. If he can't sign his name, how's it possible? Kamash Malon, in this discussion, that's not true. We work with him and we try to make it work. But says the Gemara, you have to read the not such fine print. Vahani mili begitin. This whole etza works for a get. If you're dealing with a get isha, then it works. Aval b'shtaris, when it comes to all other documents, loy, you cannot do that. In fact, ahuda avad uvda b'shar shtaris, there was a mice in shahaya kachaya, where somebody once facilitated Adam to sign on a document in one of the aforementioned ways, v'nagdei Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana heard about it, and Rav Kahana gave him malchus. So we know that one of the things that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to do is makin va'oinshin, even shalei al pi din. And Rav Kahana exercised his right to give somebody malchus, he must have beat him up for doing this. V'nagdei Rav Kahana. The only time you're allowed to do this is when it comes to gittin, when it comes to shtar shtaris. Now, what's the difference between gittin and shtar shtaris? So Rashi says, mishum iguna. It's based on iguna. The Gemara is going to speak it out now. But because of Mishum iguna, kilu bei rabbanon, and you find so many coolers when it comes to this. This is one of them. Zok d'gemara tanya kavasi derav, a brayser that supports Rav's shita. What did Rav say? Rav said that what's the etza for someone that doesn't know how to sign his name? If you want to get him to sign on a shtar, mekaren lahem niyar chalok umemalin as akram diyoy. The Gemara brings a mefurish a brayser that says this. Edom shein yodim lachtam, Edom don't know how to sign their names. Mekaren lahem niyar chalok umemalin as akram diyoy. That's literally verbatim what Rav's idea was. It doesn't say Shmuel's etza. Doesn't say Rav Avoh's Eitzah, doesn't say Rav Papa's Eitzah, says Rav's Eitzah. And as a result, this is the Tanya Kavasi Rav. Amr Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel continues in the Brice and he says, Bemet Vam Amurim, when is this true? Bigitei Nashim. The only time you can do this is for a get Isha, Aval B'Shechruri Avodim. But if it's a get Shechruri, Vishar Kol Ashtaris, or any other star for that matter, in Yoidim Likrois Velachdim Chaisman, if they know how to read and they know how to sign their name, it's okay, Vim Lav. And if not, Ein Chaisman, they can't be signatures on a star. So the Gemara interrupts and says, Kriya Mandachar Shma. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that this, that the Brisa says that Adam don't know how to sign, we facilitate the signatures. That's only true for Gittin Noshim. But when it comes to a Get Shichur or any other shtar, if they know how to read, then it's good. And if they know how to sign, then it's good. But otherwise, we won't read for them and we won't sign for them. So the Gemara says, we were talking about signing. We're talking about Edom that don't know how to sign. We weren't talking about Edom that don't know how to read. So who said anything about reading? Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking to the Tanna Kamma, but he's also not talking to the Tanna Kamma, because the Tanna Kamma didn't say a word about reading, or Shimon Gamliel is talking about reading. Says the Gemara, the only way to make sense of the Brice is by adding words. We have to do a little edit. Chasure mechzer v'halchitani. This is the way you have to read the Brice. Edom shein yoidom likrois. Edom that don't know how to read. Kairon lefneyem. We read for them. V'ch oismen and they sign. V'shein yoidom lachtem if they don't know how to sign. V'chulu. What's the v'chulu? That's where the Brisa picked up. That mekaren lahem niyar chalok malanas akram diyoy. So the Brisa really was talking about two things. It was talking about Edom that don't know how to read and Edom that don't know how to sign. The Edom that don't know how to read, we read for them. The Edom that don't know how to sign, Tanya Kavasi Derav, mekaren lahem niyar chalok malanas akram diyoy. Amr Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel now is commenting on the two things that the Brisa said. Bemet var mamur, when is this true? Bigitei Noshim. Ava shechruri avadim, b'shar kol ashtoreis, im yoidim likreis v'lachtim chosmen, v'im lav ein chosmen. So Shimon Gamliel's comment is that the only time this is true is for Gitei Noshim, but as it relates to all other shtaris, even shtar shechur, the halacha is ein chosmen. Amr Rabbalaz is at my time with Rabb Shimon Gamliel. Why do Rabb Shimon Gamliel, who holds that you really can't do these eitzes, you can't read for them, you can't facilitate their signature, it doesn't work by all shtaris, yet by Get Isha it does work. What's the difference between Get Isha and all other shtaris? Says the Gemara, what Rashi spoke out in Amad Aleph, Shloyiyu benois Yisrael agunois. It's Mishum Iguna, Kilo Bei Rabbana. There's so many coolers that we find Mishum Iguna, and you can chalk this up as another one of those coolers. Amar Rava, Rava said, Halacha ki Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That what? That it's tafka for Get Isha, you can use this, but for all other stories, you can't. For Rav Gamda, Mishmei de Rava, Amar Rav Gamda said, in the name of Rava, that ein halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the halacha is really not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Gamda, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So who is the halacha like? So process of elimination. If it's a machlokes chachamim and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, then come on, k'Rabban. Obviously, the halacha is like the Rabbanan. So we paskin then that you can facilitate for the Eidim, sai for Gedisha, and sai for shtar shtaris. Frey the Gemara, v'ahu, the oved uvde b'shtar shtaris, v'nagdi Rav Kahana. On Amar Aleph, we told a story where Rav Kahana once gave somebody malchus b'shtar shtaris. Now, b'shloim, if the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, then we understand why Rav Kahana would have given him malchus. Because if we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel clearly said that the only time this is true is when it comes to Gedisha. It's not true by shtar shtaris. But if you're going to tell me, ain't halacha k'r Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, so the halach is that you could facilitate it even by shtar shtaris. So why did Rav Kahana give malchus? So the Gemara says, Tirgama kriya. You have to say that when Rav Gamda said that the halach is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, he meant not everything Rav Shimon Gamliel said, but one of the two things Rav Shimon Gamliel said. Rav Shimon Gamliel was talking sai about reading for the Eidim and sai about signing for the Eidim. As it relates to signing or facilitating the signature of the Eidim, halach like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The only time it's true is by Gedisha. And that's why when there was an ayat shoya kachay where somebody did a shtar shtar, is Nagdi Rav Kahana. When we said Ein Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's true as it relates to Koyron Lefneim. We're going to read for the Eidim, even the Shtar Shtaris. Although Rav Shimon Gamliel said that this halacha is only going to be true for Gedisha, we don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. We paskin that this is going to be true even for, it's going to be true even for Shtar Shtaris. Zok Gemara, on this note, Rav Yehuda Mitztair Kari V'chasim. Rav Yehuda, so Rashi says that if he ever wanted to be an aide or a dayan, and he had a sign, so Soif Yomov, it was very difficult for him to see. Zokin Hoya, the Ein of Kehois. So he would go through great pains, literally, mitzta'er, so that he'd be able to read by himself and sign. Amalei Ula, so Ula once told Rabbi Yehuda, Leitzriches, you don't have to. The Rabbi Loza, Marad Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Loza, who's the Marad Eretz Yisrael, what does that mean? Rashi, Boki Mikol Chaveirov, he's a bigger Boki than all his friends, and Koru Kamei V'chasim, they used to read for him, and he would sign. It's like, why are you going through such great pains to try to see by yourself? You don't have to. This is what Ula told Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, Rabbi Nachman also, Koru Kamei Safri Dainu V'chasim. Rabbi Nachman had the same minik, that he would have his people, the Chaveirim of his Bezdin, they would read for him, and he would sign. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Loza did it, Rabbi Nachman did it. But as it relates to Rabbi Nachman, anyway, the Gemara's comment is that it only is true for Rabbi Nachman and with his dayanim. Why? De isel emesa. Because they feared him. Av Rav Nachman v'safri achrina. But if it would have been Rav Nachman and other dayanim, or safri dayna v'inish achrina, or it would have been Rav Nachman's soifrim, but not Rav Nachman, well, in that case it wouldn't work. So the Gemara says the only time it works is if you have this chemistry that's the equivalent to Rav Nachman and his bezdin. Rav Nachman was a man of very, very high respect. Rashi says he was a dayan mumcha, he was chasna de beinasiya, he was an edim by the nasi, and everybody feared him. And because everybody feared him, nobody was going to lie to him. So you have someone on the caliber of Rav Nachman, and his people who are trustworthy, who understand exactly who Rav Nachman is. So when it's that kind of relationship, you can be Seimach on it. But if it would have been Rav Nachman and other Seifrim, or Rav Nachman Seifrim and someone other than Rav Nachman, in that instance, this is really not something that you would be able to rely on. But the bottom line is, there is a concept for sure of someone that doesn't know how to read a document, you can read it for him and then he's going to be able to sign. Or someone that doesn't know how to sign his name, where the halach is, we can somehow facilitate his signature. And if this time, we're going to get back to this a little bit in the raid as well. If he ever had a shtar that crossed his desk, that was a Persian shtar that was approved by the Arkais of the Nachrim, by the Persian courts. What he would do is he would call in two Nachrim, people that were able to read Persian, he couldn't, and he would call them in individually, and he wouldn't even tell them like why he was calling them in, so he would work it out in some masiach levitume, and as long as everything worked out, and he was okay with what he heard, he would use the shtar even for the people to be able to be toireth from nechasin mishubad. So a few things, just to understand what we just said. Number one, you see that a shtar that's written in Persian is a kosher shtar. Now, for sure you see. Seems obvious. The Gemara is actually going to address this point in a few moments. Another thing you see is that a shtar that has non-Jewish signatures that went through the Erkoyishol Nachrin is a kosher shtar as well. Now, that's a chiddush, but it's not a chiddush to us because we just learned this sugya on Daf Yud Amid Beis where, again, it's a big sugya, and if you never learned Gittin Daf Yud, it may come as news to you, but we just learned Gittin Daf Yud. So, the halach is that shtarei mamon, anyways, that go through the court system because of a svara of leimari nafshayu and because of a svara of dina d'machusadina, as we learned then, the halach is these shtarei are going to be kashra shtarei. Not just that, you see that you can use the shtar even to be goiva from the nechasim mishubadim. Not only from the nechasim b'nei chari, but even from the nechasim mishubadim. Now, this is really the biggest chiddush that you see from this Gemara. And the reason is because there was a Mefurish Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara told the story, Hai Shtara Parsa. So it was 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. There was a Persian shtar, literally like our shtar, the Masri Nahaleh Ba'api Sadi Yisrael, that was given over in the presence of Yiddisha. And what's the halacha? Rava said, Magbina Beim Ibnei Chari. You could be goiva, but only from the chasim b'nei chayrim, not from the chasim mishubadim. So Rashi speaks out that at first glance, this Gemara seems to contradict that Gemara. Because this Gemara is mashma, that Rapapa Paskin, that shtara parso, that loch is, you could be goiva from the chasim mishubadim. And Rav himself said on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that a shtar parso, you can only be goiva from the b'nei chayrim. So what's the teretz? So Rashi says that you have to say that the teretz is pashit. The teretz is that this shtar that we have right here in Daf Yotes Amid Beis went through the Arkois. It's Mefurish that it was Ovid by Arkois on Nachrim. The shtar on Daf Yot Aleph Amid Aleph did not go through the Arkois, but rather the ones that approved the shtar were Hedyotis. So without going back into that sugya, but there was a chiluk between Arkois and Hedyotis. So Zok Rashi, that shtar had been approved by Hedyotis. The only reason the shtar was even kosher is because the Ede Mesira were Yidden. Hai shtara parsa de masri nahali ba'ape sahade yisro. So being that we're only being machshir the shtar based on the Ede Mesira and not based on the shtar itself so much. Why? Because it was prepared by Hityotis. So although we'll rely on the shtar, we'll only rely on the shtar for b'nei chayri, but not for nechasim mishubadim. Over here that it went through their koi system, it's different. And because it went through their koi system, over here, we're going to be able to rely on it even to be goyver from the Nechasim Meshubad. And what's the difference? The difference is when it goes through the Erkois, we assume it has a coil. So the reason that sometimes you could be goyver from Nechasim Meshubadim and sometimes you can't, what it really boils down to is, do we assume that this transaction had a coil or did it not have a coil? If we assume it had a coil, then the Meshubadim should have been aware of this transaction, and as a result, they knew that at any point somebody might come and be Torah from them. As a result, we allow you to be Torah from them. But a transaction that doesn't have a coil, that's when we say you can't go after the Mechasim Mishubadim. That's why a Milva Al Peh, you can't be Goyver from the Mechasim Mishubadim. A Milva Bishtar, you could. Because a Milva Al Peh doesn't have a coil. A Milva Bishtar, the Shtar itself, gives it a coil. And that's why you can be Goyver from the Mechasim Mishubadim. And the Chosmin are, Oivdei Kechavim, they're Persian. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if it goes through our Kois, it has a coil. If it has a coil, based on the sugya, dina de malchus leimar nafshayu, and there's a call, you could be goyver from the nechasim mishubadim. The reason in Rava's case and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, you can only be goyver from the bnei chari, it's because over there, the shtar itself wasn't really such a good shtar, because it was prepared by hedyotis. What made it kosher? It was the Edom Asiri that made it kosher. But being that the shtar itself was prepared by hedyotis, it doesn't have the coil, and if it doesn't have a coil, that's what Rashi says in this two short lines, over there the halach is you can be goyver from the nechari, because a legitimate shtar it is, but it doesn't have a coil, and therefore you can't be goyver from the nechasim mishubadim. A similar halach, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Huna bar Nosson, Hachi Amar Ameimar. So this halach traces itself all the way to Ameimar. Hai shtar parsa, if you have a Persian shtar, t'chsim yoleh sa'adi Yisrael, and the signatures on the shtar are Yidin, Magbina, Beimim, Meshabdi, the halach is, you can be goyver this shtar, even from nechasim mishubadim. So in this case, you have a Persian shtar with the signatures are Yidden. Oh, the signatures are Yidden, so it's Pasha. Magbina maybe Mishabdi, that's not a Kiddush. That's a regular shtar as far as the Idich HaSima goes. The only chiddush is that it was written in Persian. But that in and of itself is not a reason that it shouldn't have a koil. And therefore the halach is, you can be geiver with it. You can even be geiver from the Nechasim Mishubadim. But the Gemara asks some technical questions. V'yadu l'mikri. How did the Edim know how to sign such a shtar? They know how to read Parsai? The Gemara says, yeah, but yadi. Kasha famayisa. They knew how. Faith the Gemara v'abin iksav she'ini yochel is dayev v'leko. One of the halachas of a shtar is you have to make sure that it's written in a way that you're not going to be able to be mezayif the shtar, which is why they used to process it with gold nuts, because they wanted to make the parchment in a way that you wouldn't later be able to forge it. So the Gemara says, but that's on a kashaf amais. Again, it's talking about where they used a kosher piece of paper. There's another halacha when it comes to shtaris, that the last line of the shtar has to be like a chazar sashir. You have to chazar over everything that was mentioned in the toichen of the shtar. L'chura, you don't have it. The Gemara says, you do have it, but the mahadar, it's talking about where they did that. So then what's the chiddush? Meaning, why are we even talking about this case? Ravashi told me. I heard from Rav Huna Bar Nosson. He told me that Amemar said that if you have a Persian shtar, I mean, the shtar was just written in Parsoi. That's the language that it was written in. And you didn't sign on it. It's a regular shtar. You could be Tairif even from the Chasam Mishubadim. What's the Chiddush over here? You're telling me that it meets every single halachic criteria. So what's the chiddush? So you'll tell me, maybe the chiddush is, fellow, my kamash, when they're called lashon kasha, that you can write it in any language. Faith the Gemara, Tanina, I know that already. Get, shakas for Ivris, it's a mishnah in the end of the Masechta, that if somebody wrote a get isha in Ivris, the aid of Yavanis, but the aid is signed in Greek, Yavanis, you wrote the shtar in Yavanis, the aid of Ivris, kasha. So you see that when it comes to shtaris, we don't discriminate between languages. Again, what's the chiddush of this halacha? So the Gemara says, no, the chiddush is that it was written in Persian. Now, why is that a chiddush? Don't I know from the Mishnah later? So, I only had the Mishnah later. I would have thought, the only time it works is by a Gerisha. But maybe when it comes to all other shtaris, it's not going to work. Why would you think Gittin is different than all shtaris? Akrashi, Mishumaguna, Akilu Bei Rabbanon, Kamash Malon. That was the Chiddush over here, that even if it's another shtar and you wrote a B'Shah L'Shoinis, still it's going to be good. So this little Gemara that we just learned is really a shtickle, an addendum. It's a postscript to the Sugya on Daf Yud Amid Beis and on Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara talked about shtaris that were prepared appeared with non-Jewish participation, which was, again, a very, very big chiddush. And really what emerged is that there are a whole bunch of different nuances, specifically in our sugya, as it relates to whether you'll be able to use the shtar to be toirif from the nechasim mishubadim. How does it play itself out? Really, we had three scenarios, two that were mentioned in the Gemara, and the third one Rashi contributed. As it relates to what Rashi mentioned first, and that was a Mefurish Gemara, Le'il, and Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, if you have a Persian shtar, where the Edom on the shtar were Parsiim, meaning any Yehudim, it was prepared by Hedyotos, but you have Ede Mesira that are Yidin, the halacha is, the shtar is going to be okay, even though it was not put through the Erkoi system. So you don't have all the umdenis of Le'mari Navshayo, but you have Edim Mesira that are Yidin, so it's a kosher shtar, but only to be goyver from the Bnei Chari, not to be goyver from the Nechasim Meshubadim. In the event that you have a shtar parsa, where you have Yidin that signed on it, so there the halach is, for sure, you'd be able to be toyer from the Nechasim Meshubadim, and in the event that you have a shtar parsa, where the signatures are also Parsian, but it went through the Arkais, not prepared by Hedyotis with Edom Isiri Yisrael. There's no Edom Isiri Yisrael. It's 100% Ashtar Parsa. But it went through the Arkais. That's better than it going through Hedyotis. We have Edom Isiri Yisrael. In this case, the halach is, you'll be able to be Goyva even from the Mechasim Meshubadim. What's the reason? When it goes through Arkais, it has a Koil. But when it was prepared by Hedyotis, in that instance, it's not going to have a Koil. Either way, we'll stop here and just speak out four short haris. So going back to the Mishnah mentioned Bakoil Koisvin, and then the Mishnah turned its attention to Al Hakoil Koisvin. You can write a get on anything. And the Mishnah said examples of what that everything means. Al Ha'ola Shel Zayis, on the leaf of an olive tree. Val HaKeren Shel Para, and you can write a get on the horn of a para. So, it seems like an interesting way for a person to be Mekayim the Vekas of La Sefer Krisos. Stating that, the Mishnah says that if somebody would write on the Keren Shel Para, the halachas it would be kosher, with the caveat for Noisim La Sapar. You can't, after you write the get, take off the Karen and hand the Karen over to your wife, but rather you would have to hand over the entire para. What came to mind learning this Mishnah was a Medrash that's very, very well known. And that is a Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, where the Medrash Rabbah talks about the four Goliaths that Klal Yisrael had to go through as a nation. It says, V'haretz hoysa soyu v'vayu v'choshech al p'nei sahayim. And the Medrash says that V'haretz hoysa soyu, that's referring to the Malchus of Bavel. That was the first nation that took the Yidden into Golos from the time that they became a nation. V'vayu is referring to Malchus Madai. The Choshnech is referring to Malchus Yavon. Al Pnei Sahayim is the Malchus HaRishah. It's referring to the Roman Empire that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. But the Medrash says, the Choshnech is Malchus Yavon. Shehechshicha Einayim Shel Yisrael B'gzeiroi Seyim. Why were they called Choshnech? Because they were Machshech. They made tinkle the eyes of the Yidden with their terrible Gzeiris. Shehoisai Meres Lahem. Because Yavon would tell the Yidden, Kisfu Al Keren Ashar. I want you to write on the horn of Ashar, She'im Lachem Chelik Be'Lekei Yisrael. So it seems that this was a zach, that people would write on the Karen of Ashar. It's a well-known chazal, Kisval Karen Ashar, and in the Chanukah Torah, there's a famous Bnei Yisoschar on this. What's the significance of Kisfu al Keren Ashar? But you have it here in a Mishnah, in a halachic Mishnah. Ala kol koisvin, ala ola shal zayis, vala keren shal para. So it seemed that this was maybe somewhat of a shchichtig way of communicating. It seems bizarre to us, but it seems that there's a makar to it that once upon a time you had to be there. This actually made some sense. It's in a medrash, it's in a Mishnah, and that's probably why the Mishnah is even mentioning it. But I saw a ha'orah neflah in the Haggais from the Cheshek Shloima, Reb Shloima HaKoyim Mivilna, right here on the Mishnah. He's bothered with why did the Mishnah pick this, again, interesting example of a Keren Shel Para to make its point of Al HaKol Koisven. Says the Cheshek Shloima that nearly the Kamash Malon, the time of the Mishnah, is coming to tell me a Chiddush. And that is, there's a Mishnah Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chav Vav Amar Aleph. The Mishnah says, Kol HaShoifreis Ksheirim. You're allowed to use any horn for Tkiya Shoifer, Chutz Mishal Parah, with the exception of a Parah, and the reason is, Mepnei Shehu Keren. Because the Shoifer of a Parah is not called in Tanakh a Shoifer, it's called a Keren, and because it's called a Keren, and you have to blow not a Karen, a Shaifer, therefore it's going to be possible. Either way, there's a whole ensuing discussion here in the Gemara with regards to using a Shaifer Shalpara. And the Gemara says as follows, Abayom Abaya said, Hainu Tamayu the Rabbanon. The reason the Rabbanon said that Kol HaShoifer Ksheirim Chutz Mishalpara, it's not for the reason that the Mishnah gave, it's a different reason. And that is because Shaifer Echad Am Rachmana, because it says in the Torah that you have to blow a Shaifer in the singular. So the Shaifer that you're going to blow has to be one Shaifer for Leishnai Meshloicha Shaifers. If, however, you're going to take a Shaifer that's really made up of two or three Shaifers, in that instance, it's not going to be okay. Okay, hi, the Parah, as it relates to the Shaifer that comes from a Parah, Kibin Dekoi Gildi Gildi, being that it's made up of different shlavim, it's made up of different parts. Mischazi kishnai mushloisha shayfres, it looks like it's two or three shayfres, and because it's two or three shayfres, therefore it's going to be possible. In other words, there is just a physical difference between the horn of a para and the horn of other animals. The horn of a para, if you look at the horn, it looks like not one shayfer, actually looks like three. It looks like you took three shayfres, two or three, that's lashon of abaya, and you merged them together. And even though it's really one horn, but it looks a little like it's achas shehishtayim or shehishloisha, it's mischazi kishtayim or shloisha shayfres, and shayfer echad amar rachmona, it's for that reason it's not going to be okay. So the Cheshek Shloimeh said a dover nifla. He said that the Gemara says, and we're going to learn this in tomorrow's daf chof amid days, that the halacha is, it says that you have to write get on a sefer. Says the Gemara, Sefer Echad Amar Rachmana, V'lo Yishnayim U'Shloisha Seferim, Tzvarim. But you can't write a get on two or three Svarim. It has to be one Sefer, but it can't be two or three Svarim. So says the Cheshek Shloima, Yei Shloima, that's why the Tana, the Mishnah, spoke out that you can write a get on the Karen of a Parah. Because I would have thought maybe you can't. Why not? Because just like you can use a Fitkiya Shofar. And why can you use a Fitkiya Shofar? Because it's Mischazi Kishnayim Vishloisha Shofaris. So I would have thought you can't use a Fitkiya get either. Because it's Mischazi Kishnayim Vishloisha Sforim. Because just like Chazal Darshan Shofar Yachad Amar Rachmada Vishloisha Shofaris in Rosh Hashanah Chavav, so too Chazal Darshan Rashi, Sefer Recha, V'lo Yishnayim V'shloisha Svarim, in Gittin, Daf Chav. So I would have thought it's possible. That's why the Tana of the Mishnah, L'hoitzi Miliban, don't shtel tzu, Rosh Hashanah Chavav, said Rav Shloim HaKoy Mivil. But that's what the Tana Mishnah said. Bakol Koisvin, you can even write it on the Shofar of a Par. Abazok, the Cheshik Shloimah, if that's the case, what's Takubshah? What's the Kamash Malan? Why is it that it's possible to give a shofar? Why? Because shofar echad lomar achmad v'lo yishnayim v'shloisha shofaris, but it's going to be kosher fixti v'saget. Sefer echad amar achmad v'lo yishnayim v'shloisha svarim. Says the Cheshek Shloima, the teretz is pashat. The teretz is when a shofar starts to grow, the horn of a para, shlav number one. At that point, it's already a shofar. What is it? It's a horn. It's a keren, it's a shofar. That's what it is. Now, it's going to continue to grow a second shlav, it's going to grow a third shlav, but when the first shlav had already grown, at that point, it was already a shofar. Therefore, when the second shlav grows, it looks a little bit, it's meschazi, you can touch it up a little bit, as if this shofar now just grew another shofar, and then another shofar. As it relates to sefer, this Keren of the para, is it a sefer as soon as it grows a little bit of a horn? Or is it even a sefer when it grows more of a horn or more of a horn? It's not a sefer until you decide that I want this to be a sefer. It's not inherently a sefer. It's inherently a shofar, but it's not inherently a sefer. The shem sefer it's going to get when you decide that I want to use it as a sefer. So said the Cheshek Shloima, Svara Nifla. He said, being that it's first going to become a sefer when you decide that you want to use it as a sefer, at that point, it's not going to be a problem anymore of Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim. Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim is a problem when I have a sefer, and I'm mechaber it with another sefer, and I'm mechaber it with a third sefer. In that instance, you have a problem of Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim. If, however, it first is going to become a sefer when I take these three components and I merge them together, so it was never Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim. It's one sefer that came about through three components. But at the same time, the only time there's a problem with Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim is when it was a sefer before I actually merged it. But if it first became a sefer after I merged it, in that instance, it's not going to be a problem. By the shofar, this minute it starts growing a horn, it's already a shofar. So the Shem shofar you have with the first shlav. Now the second shlav is Oich Hashem shofar. And the third shlav is Oich Hashem shofar. So it comes out now, I have three shofars that I merge together. That's Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim. That's the svar of the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chavah. As it relates to a sefer, right? Shofar and sefer. It's a little confusing. But as it relates to a sefer doesn't have a Shem sefer until I decide that I want to use it to write it. So the minute you take the Keren Shalpar and you decide you want to write again on it, that's when it's becoming a sefer. At that point, it's one chefza. So there's no Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim. The Shnayim V'Shloisha is where it was already a sefer. It was already a shofar before I decided to use it. So I took a little bit and a little bit, a little bit, I merged it all together. In that instance, it's going to be a problem. But if it first became a sefer after it was already complete, then I look at it as one Shem sefer. So Rav Shloim HaKoyen Mivilna said that I had this einfal, and I thought that that's why the Tana of the Mishnah mentioned Keren Shalpara, and that's the punchline. That's the Kamash Malan. Why it's a problem of Shnayim V'Shloisha Shofaris, but not Shnayim V'Shloisha Svarim. And he says, Shuvro Isi, I found later in a tshuva from the Beis Ephraim, for Ephraim Zalman Margolis, who he said, I want to say a chiddush, that even though it's mavur in the Gemara, that there's a halach of sefer, echadam rachmano, but you can use two or three svarim. That's the pshat, that if you're going to write a little bit of a get on one sefer, and then a little bit of a get on another sefer, and a little bit of a get on another sefer, and you're going to merge them all together, in that instance, it's going to be a problem. If, however, you take three pieces of paper, and you combine them, and then afterwards you write it, in that instance, it's not going to be a problem. And said the Beis Ephraim, what's the makar for me to say this? The makar is that you see the Keren Shalpara works for Ksivas Aget, although it doesn't work for Tkiya Shofar. So the Cheshek Shloima said that I found already Ke'ein, the Svara that I'm saying, in the Beis Ephraim, V'samachti, that I was Mechavim L'dvarav. But the bottom line is, a beautiful Tzushtel, that why did the Tana of the Mishnah mention Karen Shalpara. It's because I would have thought that maybe the Karen Shalpara is a problem. Maybe there's an issue of Shnai Meshloish Sfarim. What's the Makar to there being an issue of Shnai Meshloish Sfarim? It's a Gemara that come on, Daf Chaf Amadez. Why would you think a Karen Shalpara is Shnai Meshloish Sfarim? That you can't Meshazik Shnai Meshloish Shoifers. So I would have thought just like it's a problem by Shoifer, so too it should be a problem for Ksivas Aget. Kamashma and it's Kosh for Ksivas Aget. What's the Chilik? Oh, as it relates to the Chilik, he said already a little bit of alumnus. That's the first start. Second Ha'ara, we're going to skip the third, by the way. But the second Ha'ara is that we learned the sugya of Hamavir Diyoy Al Gabi Sikra B'Shabbos. So what was the upshot of the sugya? One of the Lama Tes Malachis is Kosev. Another one of the Lama Tes Malachis is Moichik. If somebody writes two Oisiyas on Shabbos, he's Chayim Mishum Kosev. If someone's Moichik two Oisiyas on Shabbos, he's Chayim Mishum Moichik. What happens if somebody writes on top of other Oisiyas? So, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they laid down the law of the land. They said as follows. If you wrote with black ink on top of red ink, so then the halach is you'll be Chayiv twice. Seifa Kosev, Seifa Moichik. You're Kosev because you changed it from red to black, and you're Moichik because you changed it from red to black. If somebody writes black on top of black, red on top of red, nothing changed. It looks exactly the way it looked, even though you wrote in theory, and even though you were Moichik in theory, but you're not going to be Chayiv, not for Kosev and not for Moichik. If somebody writes in red on top of black, so that was already a Shaila. Amri la Chayiv, Amri la Potter. If you're Chayiv, it's not for Kosev, it's for Moichik. If you're Potter, it's because although you were Moichik a little bit, right, you were Metashtesh, what you had, but you're also Mekalkel, and because you're Mekalkel, Mekalkel the Shabbos is going to be Potter. Then Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan a question. What about L'inyan Gittin? Is this a tzushnel for Gittin? What would be if you have Edom that don't had a sign? And I know that Amiroim, they debated, what should you do? Rav had his shita, Shmuel, Rabavo, Rapapa. Could you write in red ink, and on top of it, don't sign in black? Hamavrit Yoy, Agabi Sikr B'Shabbos, is Chayim Mishum Kosev, so L'chora, it's considered a ksiva. Would it be okay? So Yoichanan said, what? It's ksav Agabi ksav. No way. So Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yoichanan, I understand. You taught us that black on top of red is considered a ksav on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, v'chi mipnei she'anu medame nasa maisa. Now Rashi explains, what does it mean, v'chi mipnei she'anu medame nasa maisa? What Rabbi Yochanan was telling Reish Lakish was that even though I said chayev, I didn't mean chayev. Took me a little too literally. I didn't mean that you would actually bring a carbon chatos if you did a b'shoigik b'zman shemes ha'mikdash ha'yikayim. What I meant was maybe. I have a tzad. Maybe it's a problem. Oh, but nasa maisa? No way. Meaning it's a suffix. And me that it's a suffix, you have to go to Chumrin and Chashabbos. But at the same time, being that it's a suffix, you also would go to Kula. And therefore you would say, or the Chumra, that in Gittin, there's no way you're going to allow the Edom to sign. The Rambam, when he brings this halacha of Amavrid Yoyal Gabi Sikra B'Shabbos Chayiv, the Rambam says clearly that your Chayiv Chatos. You chayiv chatos for being kosev, you chayiv chatos for being moichik. And the Chassam Sofer, in Chedushi Chassam Sofer al Hashas, right here in Gittin Daf Yotes Amud Aleph, says, if that's the case, then l'chayra, we have a little bit of a problem. Why? Because l'chayra, the Rambam seemed to have learned then, Hamavr diyoy al gabi sikr b'shabbos chayiv, literally. If he learned it literally, then how do you understand what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he told Reish Lakish that v'chi mipnei she'anu medame nasa maisa? Rashi understood that what he was telling him was that don't ask me a kasha from Shabbos to Gittin, because by Shabbos I never meant affirmatively that it's a ksav. I just meant maybe. I was medama. I had a tzad that maybe that's the way it is. But I never said nasa maisa. I never said you would bring a karma chatos. And therefore, as it relates to Gerishin, it's not going to be good. But the Rambam didn't learn that way. Because the Rambam paskin Rabbi Yochanan's halacha the way we have it in the Gemara. And that is yichayiv literally. You're going to be chayiv chatos. So if the Rambam says yichayiv chatos, and Rabbi Yochanan said mefurish that le'inyin gittin, it doesn't work. So what did he mean when he said v'chim v'pnei she'anu medama nasa maisa? He must have meant something. So the question is, what did he mean? So says the Chassam Sofer, a yesoid. This is an important yesoid for when you learn Hilcha Shabbos. This is a Shabbos sug you tucked away here in Masechtas Gittin, and it's really an important yesoid. And that is, says the Chassam Sofer, that although Kosev is one of the Lamites Malachas, but at the same time, the Malacha of Kosev does not have to conform 100% with all the Halachis in Shulchan Aruch of what the definition of Ksiva is. In other words, there's a nafgamina between the definition of writing as it relates to the melacha of Kosev First is the definition of writing as it relates to when the Torah uses the word kaisav, such as ksivas aget, the kosav lo sefer krisos, the nosim beyada. It's not the same thing. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan was telling Rish Lakish. As it relates to ksivas aget, it has to be of a kosav. What's of a kosav? Good. Look in the Shulchan Aruch, Lur Masech Tiskin, it's a good place to start. And then you figure out what the definition of the kosav is. As it relates to what the definition of kosav is in the Melecha Shabbos, it's what was kosev in the Mishkan. All the Lamites Melachas are Dumya the Melechas on Mishkan. And whatever kosev was there, that's what kosev is going to be here. So when we say kosev in Shabbos, it's true that the Melacha is ksiva, but don't make the mistake and think that I can shtel zu ganz hilchas ksiva as it relates to ksiva saget, v'chule, to now understanding the gedorim of what the malach of kosev is going to be. Loi roi ze k'roi ze. Hatzada shavah shavahen is they're both osner, or they're both dinim, that involve ksiva, but they're fundamentally different. In one, what we're trying to accomplish is the Torah's definition of ksiva, and in the other, what we're trying to accomplish is what ksiva was in the Melachas HaMishkan. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's what Rabbi Yochanan was teaching Reish Lakish. He told him, V'chim v'pnesha anu medame nasa maisa, you're making a tzushtel between the definition of kosev linyan Shabbos and the definition of the kosev linyan ksiva saget as it relates to Shabbos, what went on in the Mishkan. To be maver d'yoyal gabi sikra made sense that that's something they would have done in the Mishkan. If they would have written something and now they wanted to write on top of it, so the Chasam Sofer says, it's mistaber they would have written d'yoyal gabi sikra. Anybody would do it. Why would they have not done it? It's a very reasonable thing to do. So in terms of the kosev of the Mishkan, right, where were they writing in the Mishkan? They were writing on the krushim. So if they had to write something, they had to write a letter, whatever it was. So to write on top of something that will clearly be legible, to do a diyoy al-gabi sikra makes sense. And because it makes sense, so this is something that they might have done. And being that that's something that they might have done, so in Shabbos is considered the kosev that was done in the Mishkan. And therefore, a marvel diyoyah gabi sikra b'shabbos is chayev. And the way the Rambam learns, you're literally chayev. But told Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, don't shtel that to Gittin. Gittin, you need a v'kosav. And when the Torah says v'kosav, it means not ksav al gabi ksav. And even if the ksav al gabi ksav is diyoyah gabi sikra, das is loichet nish v'kosav. And that, there's no chilik between ksiva as it relates to ksiva in the Mishkan, and ksiva as it relates to when the Torah uses the lashon of ksiva. What then did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said, v'chim v'pnei shonu medamu nasumai? So all he was telling him was, is that I really was mesupik. And even though it's true, granted, you're 100% right, that I said that hamavir d'yoyal gabi sikra b'shabbos is chayiv, but I didn't mean chayiv. V'chim v'pnei shonu medamu nasumai, I meant maybe a chayiv. I didn't really mean a chayiv. And as a result, it's not necessarily true. If it's not necessarily true, then you can't use it and rely on it. The way the Rambam's learning the Gemara is that Rabbi Yochanan was telling Reish Lakish a tremendous yesoid that's not only negayat the sugya of ksav gabi ksav, of diyal gabi sikra, but das is negayat ganz lametes malachis. This belongs in a hakdamashir to the sugya of lametes malachis. A Chasam Sofer tucked away and getting your test. And that is, Rabbi Yochanan was saying that don't necessarily conflate what the taich of kosev is as it relates to Melechah Shabbos versus what the taich of kosev is as it relates to ksivas aget. In one, we're trying to conform with what took place in the Melechah HaMishkan, and the other, we're trying to conform with what the Torah meant when it said the word kosev. That's the second R. He said we're going to skip the third ara, and we're going to move to the fourth ara, which is, so the Gemara talked about what happens when you have Eidim that don't know how to sign their name. Are we going to work with them or not? Now, what does work with them mean? So there were different opinions amongst Tam Iran. Rav said, Mekaren lehem niyar chalok, umemalen as akarim diyoy. Shmuel said, we write it in Avar, and they can sign on top of it. Rabbi Avohu said, we write it in Meimilin, with the caveat, it has to be a parchment that's already offered. Rabbi Papa said, we would write it with Reich. Bottom line is that there's a way to work with these Eidim. Is this something that we're willing to do, or is it something that we're not willing to do? The Gemara brought a Braisa, where it seemed that it was a machloikis between Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel and the Chacham. The Chachamim say, the answer is yes, we'll work with Eidim. Now we work with Eidim, we'll work with Eidim when it comes to all shtar. It doesn't matter what kind of shtar it is, we're always willing to work with Eidim. Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel was chaylik. He said, "Bamed var mamurim, the only time it's true is begitei noshim. Aval b'shechruri avodim v'shar kol ha'shtaris. When it comes to get shechrur, or when it comes to all other shtaris for that matter, if they know how to read, or if they know how to sign, guvaldik. But if they don't know how to sign, it's not something that we're going to do. And we saw the Gemara said halacha ki Rav Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel as it relates to the signing part of the brisa, that edim that don't know how to sign will facilitate their signatures, but only when? Only when it comes to Gitei Nashim. But when it comes to Shtaris, even Get Shechrer, the halach is, we're not going to work with them. In fact, there was a Maisa Shaya Kachoya, Ahuda Ovad Uvda B'Shtar Shtaris, V'Nogde Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana gave him Malkus. Now, if this Gemara sounded familiar, this discussion, it's because we had it already in the first parak of Masechtas Gittin. It was mentioned on Daf Tes Amud Beis. Now, how did it come into Daf Tes Amud Beis? The Gemara over there brought a brisa that mentioned a machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim that discuss similarities between get isha and get shechur. The brisa said b'shloisha drachim shavu gitei nashim l'shechruri avadim. Rav Meir said four. So the Tanakhama, the brisa says there's three similarities between get isha and get shechur, and Rav Meir said there was a fourth. What were the three similarities that the Tanakhama mentioned? Shavu is a din of b'fanai nechtu b'fanai nechtam. Maybe get medina sayam, whether it's a get isha or even if it's a get shechur. You have the halacha that if an eight kuti in the singular would sign on a shtar, it would be possible, but for get isha and get shechur over there, it would be kosher. And then you have the halacha that all shtaris that went through the erkoy system are kosher, with the exception of get isha and get shechur. So three similarities between get isha and get shechur. A mayor had a fourth. What was his fourth? If somebody tells a shliach, tain getzele ishti, or he tells a shliach, tain shtar shechur zele avdi, and he wants to be chayzer, it could be chayzer, and this is Rav Meir Shita that holds that shichrur is not a schos, it's a chayv, ein chavim la'adam ela b'fan. Then the Gemara said like this, the Braisa mentioned a number, b'shloisha drachim shavu gitei nashim l'shichrur ha'avadim, u'kidivir ha'meir ba'arba, and the question was, minyana l'me'utei ma'ar. So the Gemara said, b'shloim the minyana of the Chachamim in the Braisa, of the Tanakhama. It's three and not four. Which fourth are we coming to exclude? Rav Meir's fourth. Rav Meir mentioned the fourth in the Braisa. So we're saying three and not four, but Rav Meir's fourth, it sounds like it's coming to exclude a fifth. What is that fifth? So the Gemara says, you want to know what the fifth is? It's Rav Shimon Gamliel's halacha. That's the fifth. You see that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that we're willing to work with Edim, but only for Gitei Noshim. Not for Shechruri Avodim and Shar Kol Ashtaris. So you see a distinction then between a Get Isha and a Get Shechur, and that's the Minyan of Rav Meir that's coming to Mutei. What's it coming to be Mamayit? Don't think that Get Isha and Get Shechur are the same. They're not the same. That for a Get Isha will work, but for a Get Shechur over there, we're not going to work with them. The emes is that it's a little bit Tzarech Bir. Why is it Tzarech Bir? Because why is it that Shimon Gamliel said that we'll facilitate signatures for Get Ishna, but not for all other Shtar Sharas. Shimon Gamliel said it Mefurish and Awadaf. He said the reason is Shelo Yiyu Benois Yisrael Agunois. It's Mishum Iguna Akilu Bei Rabana. Right, that's the reason. That's what Shimon Gamliel said. If that's the case, then what's Takab Shat for a Get Shechur? It wouldn't work. What's the Kasha? The Kasha is it's Mavur in that Sugya on Daf Tes. That just like we say Mishum Iguna Kilu Bei Rabbanon, when it comes to same concept, when it comes to Shechur, what was the Makar? The Makar was because the Mishnah and the Braisa said that just like Chazal were Mesakim, Befanai Nechtavu, Befanai Nechtam, for a Mevi Get Isha Mebedina Sayam, they made the same Takana for a Mevi Get Shechur. Now, the fact that a Shliach is Neman to say Befanai Nechtavu, Befanai Nechtam, whether the reason he's saying is like Rabbi said, Lefishayim Bekin Lashma, or the reason he's saying is like Rabbi said, Lefishayim Nedim and Suyim Lekaimai, it's all predicated, it's a Mefurish Gemara, that Bezam and Bezam, Kimel Amad Alephin, it's the first Sugin Gittin in Mishumi Gunach Kilubei Rabbanon. Why do you have to come on to Mishumi Gunach Kilubei Rabbanon? Because he's an Eid Echad at the end of the day, and he's being made by Davish of Erva at the end of the day, Vein Davish of Erva, Pachas Mishnai. The Teretz is Mishumi Gunach Kilubei Rabbanon. And there's other reasons, but the core reason is Mishum Iguna Kilo Bei Rabbanon. So the whole nemanus of the shliach of Befanai Nechtav Befanai Nechtav is based on Mishum Iguna Kilo Bei Rabbanon. It's a phrase. This is the kasha and daf tesam et aleph. If that's the case, then I don't understand. Vim toim abish loim abisha have a Mishum Iguna avo be'evin my igun. What's pashup shad in this halacha that when it comes to a get shichrid there's a takana Befanai Nechtav only works leveraging the special kula of Mishum Eguna Kilo Bei Rabbanon. The Chayrabai gets Shechrer, what Shaiches? Widi Ha Mishum Eguna Kilo Bei Rabbanon. And Toysa said what sounded like a Chiddush to us, and that is Yesh Loimar, the Choshuv Igun, that an Eved Kanani, who's not able to be freed, is an Aguna. He's an Agun, just like an Aguna is. And for two reasons. Number one, because an Eved Kanani can't marry a Bas Chayrin. The fact that he can't marry a Bas Chayrin, that makes him an Agun. Additionally, he's not chayiv in all the mitzvahs. He's only chayiv in mitzvahs like a woman. But there's so many mitzvahs that he's not chayiv in. So he's in a matzav of aguna. And just like there's a kula mishum aguna kilu bei rabbanon when it comes to an isha, you have the same exact thing as it relates to an eved kanani. And that's why the kula of b'fanai nechta, which is predicated on mishum aguna kilu bei rabbanon, applies to an eved kanani just like it applies to an isha. If that's the case, what's pashup shan in the Gemara? Just pashup shan in the Gemara. Not a fancy question. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that we'll work with the Edim as it relates to Get Isha, but not as it relates to Get Shechar. And the reason is, Shalayu b'nois Yisrael agunois. L'chayra, by a Get Shechar, it should work. And the reason is because by a Get Shechar, you find this concept of Agun. V'haraya, the fact that you believe a shliach to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Who spoke it out? Tosfos spoke it out. The chashiva igun. You see, mefurish, you have this concept of mishum eguna, kilo bei rabbanon. So if that's the case, what's the difference? And the emes is, if you medayik Rav Shimon Gamliel's lashon, what Rav Shimon Gamliel say? B'mei dvar mamurim, when are we going to work with the eidim? B'gitei nashim, dafka b'gitei nashim, avol b'shechrur e'avodim. But when it comes to get shechar, why Rav Shimon Gamliel have to single out Avol Shechruri Avadim? He should have just said, Avol B'Shar Kol Ashtoris. He's singling out, he's giving a shout out to a Get Shechar. Why? Because he's saying a Chiddush. He's saying, I'm Bavarni, I know it's bothering you. This is the Minyan Elimute. Because really, B'Shloish Adirachim Shavu Gitei Nashon L'Shechruri Avadim. Because really, you could have made it by Ba. But I'm coming Lahitzi from that. You should know, Chmein Tafka Gitei Nashon. Don't make that toys. Don't stow to that Bryce and say, I know there's three similarities. A Meir holds his four. There's probably another one. Tonavish, I know. Avil B'Shar Kalash, B'Shechruri Avadim, V'Shar Kalash Taurus. Lahitzi Mi Liban from that London. I'm coming to tell you, I know you know this toys for this. I know. But I'm telling you now, anyways, that would comes to Shechruri Avadim, it's completely different. Aba Hagufa, Hagaba Atzmecha. What's Takabshah? So Pashim is stum, you have to say. That even though it's true that Tosfos proved from the Sugya and Daftes that just like Mishum Eguna, Kilu Bei Rabbanon, when it comes to Noshim, it's also true when it comes to Avadim, but it's probably not on the same level. Ala Rishonim Anu Mitztarim, the Oilam was tumbling about this. What's Takabshah in the post game, right? As far as understanding Mishum Eguna Kilu Bei Rabbanon when it comes to an Eved Kanani. So the fact that you find more of a Mishum Eguna Kilu Bei Rabbanon as it relates to an Isha than it does by an Eved Kanani is probably Nishtak Velt. It actually is maybe even Mistaber. And as a result, you probably can't even ask such a Kasha. That's Mistam of the Pashup Shah. But just to be Moisef, one Knech in Pnimius. And that is, I'll tell you something very interesting. The whole concept of aguna is very, very fascinating. Why? Because on the one hand, the chaymer of the sugya is on the highest level. You're dealing with an eishes ish. An eishes ish that gets married, kol bia ubia is chayvi krisos. The ketushin is not even toifis. If she has a child, the child is going to be a mamzer. It's the most chamor, maybe, parsha in the Torah. It's in the conversation. It's extremely, extremely chamor. Yet at the same time, Mishum Eguna Kilu Bei Rabbanon, in an incredible, incredible way, you find kulis in the sugya of Aguna that you don't find anywhere else. The fact that an Eid Echad is believed when it comes to Eidus Isha, Rabbeinu Da'alma Kula. It's from the hardest halacha, Shmaitz Zayin. It's impossible to even fathom. Ein Dovah Shever V'Pachas Mishnayim. You can't get 50 cents out of a person unless you have two Eidim. But when it comes to being mata, this woman, because an Eid Echad thinks maybe he saw the person, he recognized him by his nose, already you're going to be mata this woman. It's a Chiddush Naira. Psulim that are never believed are believed. Drisha V'Chakira. Not needed when it comes to Sugis of Eguna. Today's daf, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, but Megvar Mam, Gitei Noshim, you're handling Eishes Ish? Yeah, no worries, work with the Eidim. But you're dealing with a Shtar Milvik because somebody loaned his friend $100? Absolutely not. Chalila V'Chas, I'll never rely on such a kula. So it's, on the one hand, so chamur, on the other hand, it's so kal. Rech Hazal already said, mitoy chumr shechmart aleh b'soyfi ikalt aleh b'tchilasa. Advar matikin. But the bottom line is, the whole concept of aguna is fascinating. And that's when you learn tshuvas, and we did together as a chabur in the end of Masechta Zivamis, we had aguna part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, so we got a little bit of a tayameh of how the Gedolim approached it. But on the one hand, they approached it with the sensitivity that they're dealing with the most chomerdige inyan imaginable, but at the same time, where you have to go out of your way, jump through hoops to find kulas. I think it's one of the great oxymorons that you find in halacha. That on the one hand, you treat this as super, super chomer, but then again, with a certain idea of we're going to go out of our way and we're going to create kulas and say svaris and shtiklach tayre that we would never say if it was a chashabis or chasnida or some other area in Allah. So it's a fascinating, fascinating dichotomy. But I'll tell you one interesting thing that Paiskim in different places quoted, and really it comes from a tshuva from the Bach. So this is in Shailos Tshuvas HaBach. And the person talking in this tshuva was the Shail, it wasn't the Bach himself. So the Shoyl tells the Bach as follows. He tells him, Vihine, Chas v'sholem, he's writing a tshuva related to an aguna. Al tachshavu lila gaiva. Don't see me as a bal gaiva, sheikh nasti roishi bedvarim evu. Taminuli, v'nekloisi oid mezeh. The reason I'm doing this is, lahatir b'china ketana, she b'chinas ho aguna elo yoyna. The reason I'm doing this is because I want to be matter of b'china ketana, of the aguna el yoyna. This is way above our pay grade. I should have prefaced it by saying that. Asher al zeh nami yom ha-shloima. That shloima melech said in Koheles, ro'isi es dimas o ha-shukim, ve'ein lehem menachem. And when he said, ro'isi es dimas o ha-shukim, ve'ein lehem menachem, he said, I saw the tears of the ha-shukim, mamish, the people that are so tzebrachim, and there's no way to be menachem. What he meant was, obviously, there are ha-shukim, unfortunately, in the world, but he also was referring to the Eibishter. And he said, on some level, there's an idea of the aguna el yoyna. And the aguna el yoyna is ashuk, and is dimas ashukim asher ein lehem menachem. So he said a dover nifla. He said, v'chol mi shematur aguna achas bizman hazeh. Any person that's matur one aguna in this world, ki lubona achas michurvis yushalayim el yoyna. What he's doing is, he's being menachem, the ebishto, the aguna el yoyna, from this dimas ashukim asher ein lehem menachem. Lahatzel b'china achas min eishes chayel, v'day lohovin. This is what he writes. So he says, really, I should not be getting involved in something that's above my pay grade. But at the same time, said the Shoyl, and his name was Menachem Mendel Shtengi. But he writes to the Bach that I'm doing it because I understand was tutzich when you're matter in aguna. When you're matter in aguna in this world, somehow that's matter in aguna in the next world. And it's such a nechama to kaviyochel that the dimas ashukim that are in lehem menachim somehow get nechama. And he says, that's the reason I'm getting involved in this inyan. Then this is that this idea that this yid, this gadol wrote to the Bach, it's something that the Chida talks about in different places in his Svarim. One of the places that the Chida mentions this is, he talks in the Sefer Nachal Eshkol. It says as follows. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Eicha, Besuleha nugois vehi marla. Besuleiseha nugois. The besuleis, they were bitzar vehi marla. The Efshel Lirmo is b'machshakos besuleha nugois vehi marla. This is a Nachal Eshkol, right in the beginning of Eicha. The tzar b'isha, when a woman is bitzar, negeya kaviyochel l'shchino. It touches the Shechina. K'mo she'amru b'rayim hemna, kol noshe Yisrael, b'kneses Yisrael achidon. That the noshe Yisrael have more of a shaychus to the Shechina than the men do. V'chein ro'isi, b'psak iguna lehetera. I once saw, says the Chida, a tshuva that was negei agunois. Shnechosam by a rabba mekubel, ir v'kaddish, rab Aaron Chayom. Shekosav, this is what he wrote. This was a makubal that signed on a heter aguna. The yan negeya igun zebe is a pratzar l'shchina. That being that I know a pikabola that when you matter an aguna, it rears on the tzar l'shchina. Lochein nitpa leheter. He says that's why I'm being matter. Zeu toyer tvar of zah. So says the chida. Vezeu shekosav. That's the taich in the pasuk. Gebesulay seha nugois. The besulim were betzar. They were agunois. Val yedeis a kaviyochel he hashchina. Marla, the Shechina had tzar. Psuleiseha nugais vehi marla. When there's an aguna on this world and she's bitzar, that tzar is noigeya kaviyochel l'shechina. And it ties into this Dimaso Ashukim that's Ein Lo Menachem. And if a Rav has a koyach to be Matar and Aguna in this world, so being Matar the Aguna is going to somehow release and give some Nechama to the Iguna El Yoina. And that's this Indian that's happening. Chidot talks about this in the Sefer Dvash Lefi as well. Over there he says that that's the oimik of Ischar Noshim Tzidkoniyos Nigli Yisob in Mitzrayim. He says, because some geulois were Isarusa de Lesata, but Golas Mitzrayim, Klai Yisrael, and Noschosim, it was all Isarusa de Le'ela. It was all from the Ebeshta. And that's Ischar Noshim Tzidkoniyos. That Noshim Tzidkoniyos is referring to the Shechina, that's Tzedek, and he talks about this Indian, but I'll upon him again, way above our pay grade. But what emerges is an interesting thing, and this is something that's quoted in Tshuvas. And that is that there's an Indian of Mishum Iguna, Akilu Bei Rabbanan, that was written in Tshuvas, where you find this concept, this patent, that relates to this idea of the Iguna El Yoina. Nemesis says, we'll mention one Tshuva. That is, Rabbi Avadia Yosef, in a Tshuva, this is in Yabia Omer, it's Chelek Vav, it's Evan Es Simon Gimel. So I'll read it to you inside, one paragraph, just to see. This is Maran Avadia. So he's going to sit down, and he's going to write a classic Shabbat classic, where he's going to quote every Maram Mokim, and every Cheshbon, and every Svari Yisrael of Asudon, the Velt. And this is how he prefaced his Tshuva. It was right after the Yom Kippur War. Be'ikvis Mulchemes Yom HaKippurim. Nisbakashti Michaverai, Harava Goyin, Rab Mordecha Piron, Harava Roshid Litzahal, Varava Goyin Gad Navon, Skan Harava Roshid Litzahal. Losheves Yachet Itam, Beroish Beisadin, Lunyone Agunois, Kide Lodun, Velifsoik, Bekorv Le Elef Tikim Shal Cholle Tzahal Akdoshim Hashem Yim Kamdomam, Asher Hoyen Nisuim, close to 1,000 members of the Tzahal, that were married, the Shira Chareyam Almonos Seiros Liyamim, and they left over young wives, and they're all Agunos now. The Afal Gaf says Rabbi Avadia, Kimli Ben Afshoy Ki Katointi Mi Oid Mi Lodun Bedine Erva Chamura. He says, even though I know that really I'm not qualified to paskin shailos like this, Uberfrat Be Iser Eishes Isha Chamim Oid. Right, that's how all the poiskim approach the Naguna Sogya. Befrat when it comes to Eishes Ish, the Nafshi Oidas Ma Oid Goydul Achrayes Shabedov. And my nefesh, in a deep place, I understand the achrayas. The kovad elay adovim ma'od mi koitzer amasik, the oimek amusik. Koitzer amasik, I'm not masik so much, and the oimek amusik. The sugi is a very, very deep sugi. Ulam nosati elibi. So really, I was going to walk away from 1,000 aguna shaylas. You ready? He said, but I told myself, Mashikosa verava poisik b'shalos tshuvas abacha kadoshos b'psaktin leheter aguna lahatur bechinah ktana she bechinah so aguna agdoilo shnole oy mashlemi roisi dimas hashuk vein lo menachem etc. adkan. So Rabbi Avadia said, I really didn't think I was qualified, but at the same time I thought of what the shoyl wrote in the bach v'chenu b'shalos tshuvas gali mesechta, and he starts talking about this whole Indian, and I felt 1,000 opportunities now, we could be matter so much of the Aguna El Yoina. This is what he writes. How could I walk away from it? So one of the Marmakovis that he stelsu here in this is, he says, take a look at what the Marsham wrote. And this is in Chelek Aleph, it's Simen Pei Dalet. So this is at the end of a long Aguna Shaila. Mamash Taganza Tshuva from the Brzhanerov. So he says at the end, last few lines. V'yan Shem Avur B'tshuvas Bacha Chadoshes. Ki Lubona Achas Michurvis Yerushalayim El Yoina. Lehatzel bechina achas min eishes chayel. So he said, v'chein hu benachal kedumen al eich. B'shem harav hakodesh rab aron chayon. Mamash, all the marmakomis we just quoted. Lochein nitchakti ligmar hatshuva. So he said, therefore, when I wrote this tshuva, I tried hard. Nitchakti ligmar hatshuva hayoim b'yoim hatzoyin al churmin beis tefartein. He said, I decided I'm going to finish the tshuva today. And Rabbi Avadia brings it in. He said, what was he referring to? Tisha B'Av. I thought maybe Shavuot Sabbatam, he didn't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. But maybe he held this was a tzairich, because this is Nechama. This is Mamish, your Kilu Bona Achas Michurvis Yishalayim, which is the Avoid on Tisha B'Av. I think it sounds like there's a major Chiddush Lalacha that the Marsham just threw in at the end. Rabbi Avadia said he meant Tisha B'Av. So now, Koponim, he said, because he understood that this Indian, you're being matted the Aguna El Yoina, and that's why he went ahead and he threw this in. One of the things Rabbi Avadia says is that he brings the truth from the Shavuos Yaakov, that the Shavuos Yaakov said that to be matur and aguna is a shaila pekuach nefesh. There's a truth from the Shavuos Yaakov, it's in Chelek Aleph, and it's Simin, Tez Yudalid, and there was a shaila about taking Eidos and paskening a Shaila on Shabbos. Bezdin is not really supposed to convene on Shabbos, but it's the Shmos Yaakov said, V'lechein nearly poshet the heter poshet ulekabel Eidusoi, v'al yis'atzmu k'moyshe ein les'atzel b'pekuach nefesh. That's what he says. Just like he can't be mesatzel when it comes to b'kuach nefesh, he can't be mesatzel in this either. So Rav Avadya says, you see the Shmos Yaakov treated Aguna like a Shaila of b'kuach nefesh. He brings from a tshuva from the Beis Yosef who also treated it like a b'kuach nefesh. I'll tell you something fascinating. It got really, really late, literally. But just one other knach, and that is one of the tshuvas that we've spoken at many times and prefaced it by saying, hafachba vafachba the kulava. This is mamish niva v'layadam anasnava. Another knach you can take out, which is a famous tshuvas chasam sofer. We have read by Sundays. Tshuva kuf mem hei in erechayim. The tshuva was written to Rav Shlomo Kluger. It was written in Topkuf Tzadik Aleph when the Chassam Sofer was very, very not well, and he wasn't really writing tshuvas, and he wasn't giving drashas. And right, that was the one time it was hard for him to give shiurim. Kiyudu, we spoke about this in the Petuchei Chosim shiur. But the bottom line is, in Topkuf Tzadik Aleph, the Chassam Sofer was very, very sick, and he wrote a letter to Rav Shlomo Kluger. And the reason he wrote this letter was because it was a whole maisa where there was a rav who was nameless, but in the bottom they tell you was Rabbi Lazar Landau, the Inikol Dinoi de Yehuda, another Presburg to Pride connection, the author of the Yad HaMelech on the Rambam, where he was matter, if you remember this, Ksiva Saget, on Shavuos, still a shtickle in Yad HaDiyayma, Ksiva Saget, on Shavuos, the second day of Yontem Meshum Eguna. So there was a man that was about to die, and he had a brother that was in Rome. He was in Rome. And this woman was going to end up being an Aguna, because there was no way they were going to ever find him. If he divorces his wife, she's not going to fall a Yibam. So they were matter Ksiva Saget, on Yontif Sheni Shal Shavuos, using the coolers of Yontif Sheni, Befrat, as it relates to a mace, etc. And this is what they were. And Rabbi Shlomo Kluger was Meicha, and it was a Shugel Machloikes between him and Rabbi Lazar Landau. So he writes to him. But either way, Sir Rabbi Shlomo Kluger writes to the Chassam Sofer that I need you to support me. I need defense. I feel bad. And this is what he says. He said, Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, that I can't shlof him by Nach. I mean, he didn't say those words, but proverbially speaking, why? Because I didn't allow the Ksivas Aget, and because of me, this woman was an Aguna. And he writes as follows, I need Chizik, I need you to be Mechazik, me, tell me that what I said, my psak was the right psak. Uleman loitia koil d'mei ho'isha tzoyeka seilai lemar, ke ani chayafti bedoma. Amarti latzia dvar lefnei kfoy dadros goyim loidia miyofa hayreisi echas v'shol m'shogisi. Kol chachme hakil gdoy chachzik huim izulas. An loitia kol d'mei ho'isha tzoyeka seilai lemar ki ani chayafti bedoma. You have to be medayik l'shoyna mazov shal tzadikim. Sicha schulin shal tamidich hachamim etzrichim talmud. He was talking about pekuach nefesh. He means the Shavuos Yaakov. He means the tshuvas beis Yosef. It's pasha. And etz pekuach nefesh. L'man loitia kold meyo isha tzoyekas alai lemar ki ani chayafti bedom. But the bottom line is, that's what Rabbi Avadya said. Rabbi Avadya said because of this Indian, he felt because of the aguna shal alyoyna, he felt an impetus that even though he's not really royal kach, this is something that he's going to do. L'mais at the end, this is the end of the haktom. He says, L'fichach samti miftochi b'Hashem shiar eina b'tayrosai. I betochim that the Ebishtu was going to enlighten me. V'natarti l'bakoshas harabonis ha'tzvoz v'yoshavnu yachah b'moysef tlosik echada. We went through it. V'acher ha'iyun v'hadiyun. We went through each aguna shayla independently. This wasn't like a one size fits all heter kiyodua. This was, he went through each individual aguna. He said that every single one of these women were freed. And every single one he was able to be mater. But the bottom line is, what emerges in the world of Pnimius anyways, that when you talk about Mishum Iguna, Akilu Bei Rabbanon, so obviously there's the Pashup Shat, there's the Tam Nigla, Tam Nista Reichet. And in the Tam Nista, there's an idea that when we're Matir and Aguna in this world, Dimaso Ashukin, the Inla Menachem, gets a shtick on the Chama. And you're going to tell me, okay, this is already Kabbalah Digatayra. It's in a Tshuva Sabach. It's in a Tshuva Marsham. It's in a Tshuva from the Abiyah Omer. The Gedolei Yisrael use this and they work with this in their Inyan of Mishumaguna, Akilu Bei Rabbanon. So maybe to use a very Kabbalistic idea to answer maybe a simple question, and that is, you have a Guna when it comes to an Isha, you have a Guna when it comes to an Eved Kanani. And that is, when it comes to the Isha, there's also, again, we're working premius now. That's the disclaimer before and after. So it could be, that's certainly a reason that we'd be more makel when it comes to Noshin than when it comes to Avadim. And the emes is, what was the Lashon of the Gemara? Amar Abalaz, my time with the Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shlayil, Benois Yisrael Agunois. Benois Yisrael, they didn't just say Meshum Aguna, Akilu Bei Rabbana. Meshum Aguna, Akilu Bei Rabbana, and that passes for an Eved Knani also. But this Indian of Dimaso Ashukim, the Ein Lamin Nachem, that shaychus between the Shechina and the Noshim, that the Sifrei Kabbalah say that the Noshim are achidam b'kneses Yisrael, more so than the Anoshim. That's a din in Noshim. It's a din in Noshim, like the Chida says, and as is Mavur in the Sfarim, as it relates to this Inyan. That's the case. More of a reason to be Mekel when it comes to Aguna de Noshim than when it does to Aguna of Anoshim, even an Eved Kanani who's hookish to an Isha. And even though you already find on Daftes, Mishum Aguna Kilobe Rabbana Abbasadon, Afkamina between Dav, Mishum Aguna Kilobe Rabbana between an Eved Kanani and an Isha, Alpi Nigla. Stomach, it's not such a great sakasha about pinigla, it's nichener kasha. Because the whole Indian of Mishumaguna, Kilobe Rabbanish, Leubnois Yisrael, that's on a whole different Ramah.